The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson. I'm your host. We got an emergency podcast. Woo, woo! Joining me to break down the Aaron Rodgers traded finally to the Jets. So now we get air horns. The air horns, I like it. I like it. Brady Quinn's air horns have been stolen and utilized for the emergency podcast. Joining me to break it down, Johnny B-Bad, John Breach. What's up, buddy? How we doing? Ryan Wilson probably going to join us as well.
Brenton, I feel like the wait is over, man. I feel like we have texted each other every night. Is Aaron Rodgers going to get traded? Is he finally going to get traded? And here we are doing the emergency podcast that I thought we were going to have to do draft night at 12:30 a.m. But nope, we are here at 4:30 p.m. on Monday, a few days before the draft. And Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet. He's going to the Big Apple.
Yeah, let's break down. So we all knew this was going to happen, right? Like it's not a surprise that he is going to the Jets. That like no one's shocked by that news, right? I mean, I think that we all agree with that. By the way, the Google Chrome profile thing is driving me crazy. I can't easily get to the tweet that I saw from Adam Schefter. I believe the first to report it. The trade compensation for Rodgers to the Jets. I mean, what were the Packers waiting on if this is what they got? Because the deal is, per Schefter of ESPN, Aaron Rodgers, the number 15 pick in this year's draft, and a 2023 fifth round pick that's number 170 overall. So the Jets will get the 15th overall pick, Aaron Rodgers, and a 2023 fifth round pick. But they're going to give up pick number 13, so they actually moved down two spots, which those of us who are doing our mock drafts on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, thank you. If you did your final mock draft on Monday, you banged, because you're going to be redoing it. A second round pick this year, number 42 overall, a sixth round pick this year, number 207 overall, and a conditional, John, 2024 second round pick that becomes a first round pick, not if they make the Super Bowl, not if they make the playoffs, not if they go to the AFC Championship game, if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the Jets snaps / plays. This is out freaking outrageous what the Packers got in exchange for Aaron Rodgers. I thought that they might get like a swap of picks and then a conditional and maybe if everything went really well, a second round pick, like one of these second round picks. I mean, they got that second round pick, a almost lock job future first, and they moved up two spots in this year's draft. Plus, They give up a fifth and give it, this fifth and sixth, whatever. Dude, that is a really, really good haul for the Packers. Big, big winners in this trade.
Yeah, on the surface, you look at the compensation, the Packers look like they absolutely fleece the Jets, but, you know, we could be talking about this a year from now. Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl with New York, and no one got fleeced. The Jets don't care what they gave up if Aaron Rodgers even gets them to the playoffs. Remember, this team has not been to the playoffs since 2010. They're the Sacramento Kings of the NFL, Brent, and they have the longest postseason drought of any team in the four professional sports, the four major ones. And so you're talking about a team that is so desperate to get to the playoffs. They're just like Green Bay, take whatever you want. But that being said, it is weird to see this because, look, we had multiple reports over the past month, really since the day we saw Aaron Rodgers show up on the Pat McAfee show and say he intended to play for the Jets. That one holdup was that Woody Johnson, the Jets owner, didn't want to give up a first-round pick because he was afraid that Aaron Rodgers might retire after the retirement talk on the McAfee show. And, well, what happened? You give up the conditional first round pick, which is okay. I think that part looks okay for the Jets. But as you mentioned, it's not tied to a Super Bowl win. It's not tied to a playoff appearance. All he has to do is play 65% of the snaps this season, and the Packers get a first round pick. And then the other part of this is that the Jets, the other holdup, according to multiple reports, was that the Jets wanted some protection in case Aaron Rodgers decides to retire after just one season. So if Rodgers plays the upcoming season and calls it quits next January, there's no protection here. None at all. So you might have given all this up, and you might only get Aaron.
If you miss the playoffs and he plays 65% of the snaps and gets hurt, you got ramrodded on this deal.
Right. So you might only get Aaron Rodgers for one season and move back two spots, potentially give up a first round pick in 2024. And that to me is the worst case scenario, obviously, but it's completely plausible scenario because Aaron Rodgers has been thinking about retirement for about the past 4 years. So there's no reason to think if he has a rough season with the Jets, maybe the team struggles. Maybe he gets beat up because that offensive line isn't that good. Maybe he says next January, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call it quits. And then the Jets are just hanging out in the cold. So as you hit the nail on the head, Brenton, this is an interesting trade package that definitely feels like it favors the Packers on just when you look at it.
So
drawn up,
I would need to do the quick math on this, but I feel pretty confident in saying that only twice in Aaron Rodgers' career with the Packers did he fail to, well, they only have, that's not right. They only have snap counts since 2012 on Pro Football Reference. Basically, here's the snap count percentage. Now, when he played, obviously he's played in 16 games or 17 games all but two seasons since he became the full-time starter. So no doubt that, if you play in the 16 games, you get the 15, 16 games, you get to 65% of the snaps. The other two seasons in which he was injured, the two seasons which he was injured, 2013, played 582 snaps in nine games. I feel like that would fall pretty well below. It's probably right around 60%-ish, I would guess, of the snaps. And then seven games in 2017, 417 total snaps, well below 50% of the team's total snaps. I'm guessing. I would have to go look at those. But by and large, you're looking at 1,000 snaps, ranging from 1,000 to 1,100 in 2015 for Rodgers in terms of total snaps. So my point being is that, he is really likely, unless he gets injured, to play 65% of the snaps. And so if he doesn't, and even if he gets injured later in the year, he's likely to play 65% of the snaps or come close to it, which my point being, and it goes back to your point, Breach, my God, man. You just gave up a lot to get Aaron Rodgers with no guarantee that he is going to play more than 1 year. He could go to New York and have a miserable experience, play awful. They could miss the playoffs, and the Jets could give up the draft capital that requires in the pick flip from 13 to 15. It's not nothing. A second round pick, 42 overall, definitely something. And then a first round pick next year. And if they stink and they miss the playoffs, and Rodgers could play, hit 65.6% of the snaps or something like that, that pick could be pretty good. Now, the question is, do we think the Jets also still won this trade simply because they now have Aaron Rodgers? And as we've seen in the betting markets over the course of this offseason, you know, remained up there in terms of their odds to win the Super Bowl, to make the playoffs, to win the AFC East, to win the AFC. Like, they're one of the favorites at all these spots, or at least one, you know, up there in the mix. You have the Chiefs and the Bills, of course, who, you know, stand a little bit above. I still think the Jets, even with Rodgers. But, like, the Jets are a thing for 2023, man. And if they're good, it's going to buoy a lot for that franchise, for that coaching staff, for Joe Douglas, the GM. It feels like this is very much like boom or bust. There's not really a middle road here. Would you say that the Jets also won just by getting this deal done and by getting Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, despite a poor season last year, has won two MVP awards in the last three seasons?
Yeah, there's no way you can call the Jets losers here. This team has not had a franchise quarterback since Joe Namath. So when you're going 50 years without a franchise quarterback, you are definitely on the winner's list when you finally get that guy. Even if you had to give up more than I think most people probably thought they were going to give up. So, yeah, I mean, this instantly makes the Jets contenders. I mean, this is a team that with Zach Wilson at quarterback, Brinson, Zach freaking Wilson was their quarterback last season, and they still won 7 games. They still went 7-10. So you put Aaron Rodgers in there, you can't tell me they're not going to be at least 3 wins better. So it feels like, at a minimum, this is looking like a 10-win team, and then you just go up for there based on, does Rodgers look like the Rodgers from 2 years ago or the Rodgers from last year? I think even the Rodgers from last year can get this team to 10 wins. And so, yeah, if you're the Jets and you're Jets fans, you might not love the compensation, but you have to be thrilled that for once your team is going to be competing for a division title. I mean, as I mentioned, this team has not been to the playoffs since 2010. They really haven't even come close to the playoffs since 2010. I think they had one 10-6 season in 2014 or 2015. So you're talking about 12, 13 years where you've had one good year. You have had nothing to cheer for. In that sense, yes, Jets fans are winners here because you finally have something to cheer for, even if you had to give up a little too much to get it.
What about Aaron Rodgers? Because, like, the dude was on a ayahuasca retreat. And he could easily just be retired right now. Over, like, he could be in a fancy Parisian bar, you know, glazing out at the Eiffel Tower, sipping an espresso martini or something fun like that. And instead, he's probably going to be gearing up to, like, he's like reading. He said he's watching Emergency Podcast about himself. He's going to be on Pat McAfee's show tomorrow, more than likely, you would think. We're recording this on Monday, of course. Tuesday, he'll be on there. So instead of sipping like a fancy drink in a Paris bar and enjoying retirement, or eating whatever drugs he would eat and drifting off into a darkness retreat, whatever you want to do, however you want to spend your retirement, either way, he's rich, he's famous, both would be fun. The question is, should Aaron Rodgers consider himself a winner here because he's extracted himself out of Green Bay and to New York, where just like his, I don't want to call him a mentor because Favre is, you know, wasn't that for Rodgers, but his predecessor, Brett Favre, he will now be going to New York, to the Jets, to try and win for a franchise that just hasn't won. And like, I guess the argument could be too, like, if you go and win a Super Bowl with the Jets and that's your second Super Bowl, one, you dunk all over the Packers, and two, like, you are one of two guys to win a Super Bowl for the Jets, right? Like, you would go down in New York lore if you won a Super Bowl with the Jets, maybe if you win a freaking division title.
Yeah, if you're Aaron Rodgers, I think you're thrilled because it seemed pretty clear, even going into last offseason, that the Packers and Rodgers were headed to a divorce. This is like, you're about to divorce your wife, but you have like Margot Robbie waiting for you on the side. So you're just like trying to get things finalized as quickly as possible. Like,
wrap it up, B!
Let's sign the papers. I just want to get over there and start this. So, yeah, I think if you're Rodgers, you're thrilled. You know you can contend with this team. I haven't looked at the over-unders or what it will be with the Jets, but I have to think that most people will predict the Jets to win more games in 2023 than the Packers. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, you feel like you absolutely upgraded. You're saying, I only have one or two more years left, and I have a very good a chance of winning something. Playoff games, maybe a Super Bowl with this team. I have Garrett Wilson to throw to. I have my old buddy, Alan Lazard. Look at my running backs. I have Breece Hall. I have actual offensive weapons all over the place. And so, yeah, I mean, you're thrilled. And now you're just calling Woody Johnson and saying, hey, tell everyone in charge that we need some offensive linemen, and I'll be happy.
All right, so we actually have bettable win totals up at Caesars, the Green Bay Packers. Do you know what they are? I obviously just looked at them. I was going to tell you what they're. I don't know if they've changed. If you know what they are, we don't need to go through the rigmarole of you guessing it. But
I think the Packers was 8.5.
7.5 under minus 130. And the Jets, 9.5 over minus 125. Which of those would be more attractive to you, Breach, if you were placing a bet? Jets over minus 125. Well, you can take the Jets under if you wanted to, I guess, or the Packers over or under. Like, is it, the Rodgers deal, how does that affect your thought process in the win total market there?
Well, here's the crazy thing is that them adding Rodgers, I still don't think they're the best team in the AFC. I still think that title belongs to the Bills.
Agreed.
They went 3-3 in the division last season. I don't think they're going to go 6-0. I don't think they're going to have a big, huge improvement on that number. So maybe Rodgers knocks them up to 4-2. I just think that division is so tough. I think the Dolphins are still tough. The Bills are tough. You never know what you're going to get with the Patriots. So I'll say they get 4 wins there. You said it's 9.5. So I have to get to 10 to hit the over.
Need 10 to get the over. Yep.
So if they go 4-2, that just means they have to go 6-5 in their non-division games. I think they can absolutely do that. So I'd probably take the over. Even though those non-division games are tough, they're playing the NFC East. So you're looking at Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, and that won't be easy. And then obviously they're also playing the AFC West. So you're looking at the Chiefs, the Chargers. That's a lot of teams that were in the playoffs last year.
I think that one of the things with Rodgers too, for me, and when I get a little nervous about taking the under on this spot, like I'm typically kind of contrarian where I think you know, it's like, oh, like the offseason hype of the Jets is very reminiscent to me of the Raiders or the Broncos. Maybe the Broncos are the best example with Russell Wilson last year, or even the Chargers, if you want, where it's like the Chiefs are plus 160 to win the AFC or the AFC West, which was just a crazy number. The only issue with like fading Rodgers in that sort of spot is that this dude's going to be full of spite. He's not going to be thrilled about, like, he's going to want to get back at the Packers by playing really well, and preferably, I would imagine, the Packers not playing well with Jordan Love. And you see, again, we see the win totals are on the screen. You can see them at Caesars. You're hearing them in your ears. 7.5 for the Packers, juice to the under. 9.5 for the Jets, juice to the over. Like, I can see Rodgers playing pretty well if the offensive line stays healthy, if he can get on the same page with all these weapons. He's going to have the best weapons he's had. I mean, you know, in totality, I mean, I don't want to like compare who the Jets have to like Devontae Adams. Cause I mean, obviously Adams better as an alpha, but like if the Jets add another receiver in this draft, you can make the case. It'll be like one of the better overall, you know, wide receiver weapons that Rodgers had in a little while. Here's, I think, an interesting.
Well, and real quick, Brinson, just talking about their offense, don't forget that Rodgers getting a huge upgrade on defense. He's never had this kind of help. I mean, the Jets gave up the fourth fewest points in the NFL last season, the fourth fewest points per game. And he hasn't had that kind of help. According to our research team, the only time he even had a top 8 defense as far as giving up the fewest points scored came in 2010. That was the year he won the Super Bowl. So you give him that kind of defensive help and you feel a lot better about your team.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For sure. The other odds that we can look at really quickly, I've got this one open, so I'm just going to mention it very quickly that I think this is kind of a decent bet right now before it moves, which I think it will. Aaron Rodgers to win MVP. Patrick Mahomes, it's plus 650. Joe Burrow, 750. Josh Allen, 7.5 to 1. So plus 750, obviously. Jalen Hurts, 12 to 1. Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence, 15 to 1. And Aaron Rodgers, 18 to 1. This is at Caesars. Don't love anything under 20 to 1 when we're making these MVP bets. But you see the other guys on there. Scroll a little bit down, Billy. Tua Tagovailoa at 22 to 1. Like, relative to everyone else on that list, specifically Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa, who are sandwiching Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers at 18 to 1 is a much better value. I would bet that that number, I bet that Rodgers ends up creeping in between Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert, and that Caesars has adjusted their win totals and or had previously adjusted their win totals, had previously adjusted some of the some of the numbers in terms of the division and the conference odds, and that maybe this one kind of snuck through. Again, you're not getting insane value, but it's always like, it's always possible that this drifts down a little bit. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Do you like Rodgers at 18 to 1 to win MVP this year?
I would absolutely sprinkle some money there because, you know, a key point is, let's not forget, Rodgers has won two of the past three MVP awards, and Brinson, who was his offensive coordinator when he won those two straight MVPs?
The man behind the 2022 Denver Broncos, the one, the only, the legend, Nathaniel Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett might be a horrible head coach, but we do know
Jim
he's best friends with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers loves playing in that offense, and now he's going into a place where he's going to be running Hackett's offense with better all-around talent around him. So I had absolutely an 18 to 1 would sprinkle money on Rodgers.
And for real, like you know, we'd like to make jokes about Nathaniel Hackett and what a poor job he did as the Broncos head coach, and he did do a really poor job. But a lot of that falls on Russell Wilson too. And when you see what Nathaniel Hackett did with Aaron Rodgers, you're not talking like the transition here is relatively seamless. You know, you're going to have the playbook that they ran in Green Bay. Like the install is going to be harder for the running backs, for the linemen, for the wide receivers to get on the same page. But Rodgers, and I would bet, you know, I would bet a lot actually that Rodgers shows up early. He shows up often, that he's really engaged in offseason training, that he's really engaged in working with some of the younger receivers, mini camps and stuff like that in a way that he was not last year with the Packers. It was partially for the reason why the Packers were ready to move on from him. Looking at conference and division odds, the Jets 7 to 1 to win the AFC. Woo! Behind only the Chiefs, who are 3.5 to 1, the Bills 4.5 to 1, the Bengals 5.5 to 1, and ahead of the Chargers and Jaguars at 11 to 1 and 13 to 1, respectively.
Yeah, I still don't love the Jets. That's one I wouldn't touch. I might touch the Aaron Rodgers MVP, sprinkle a little there, but when you talk about, look, the Bengals played the Jets last season, and they were just way better. I mean, it wasn't even close. I think the final score is 27-12, and it was just a domination. And yes, you put Rodgers in there, I think it's a closer game. But then you're talking about beating Josh Allen. You're talking about beating Patrick Mahomes. There's just so many good teams in the AFC that I think if you're a Jets fan, you're happy if he gets you to the playoffs. Again, you haven't been there for 12 years. Obviously, yeah, AFC point. Championship, Super Bowl, those are the expectations that come when you include this kind of compensation to acquire a quarterback. But for a team that has not been to the playoffs in over a decade, I think getting to the playoffs would be a huge step forward. And if you get to the playoffs, I think that would make Rodgers more likely to return in 2024. So I don't think I would touch the Jets winning the AFC, but I'm definitely on board with a little bit on the MVP.
Want nothing to do with the Jets to win the AFC at 7-1. I think if they get to the playoffs, they're likely to be a wild card, more than likely to be a wild card, versus a 1 or 2 seed. Now, it could be possible that they're, which means that you're talking about a situation where the Jets are, I don't know, what, like 4-1 to win the AFC at that point. Like, I'd rather just wait and see how the season plays out and then bet them there, because you're still going to have to go through a wild card team possibly, and the friggin' Chiefs and Bills and maybe Bengals. Like, there's a lot of obstacles in your way. Not to leap ahead of you, Billy, I know you just got that up there, but we can go ahead and throw up the AFC East odds if we want. And I should mention that the Jets to make the playoffs odds, what would you guess the Jets to make the playoffs, yes or no, the odds on that are, Breach?
I would say the yes is minus 175.
Minus 150. I think that's kind of cheap. I like that.
Yeah,
I would much rather lay the 150, minus 150. And I think that number will get up to 175 or so. Than to bet the Jets at 7-1 to win the AFC. I think that number is just a little bit long.
Well, and see, the thing though is that when you're betting the yes, the Jets will make it, which playoff team do you think is going to be the one dropping out? Whose expense? You know, is it the Dolphins? Is it the Ravens?
Dolphins
the
is an easy one. Dolphins. You see that? Yeah, Jets minus 150. By the way, the Packers, nice job, Billy. Packers plus 170 to make the playoffs, minus 200 to miss the playoffs. I would point out right now that it would be lovely if these were in perhaps a more unified order. When we're looking these up, just throwing that out there, because I can't find a division winner. Oh, division winner, the Jets, 2-1. The Bills, oh my God, the Bills plus 135 to win the division. I had to look up Super Bowl odds to find it because they list them all out there. But the Bills plus 135 to win the division. The Jets 2-1 to win the division. The Dolphins plus 320. And the Patriots 10-1 to win the division. Man, I think the Jets at 2-1 is a little short there. Nice job, Billy, as well. Got it up on the YouTube, youtube.com/NFL and CBS or /pick6. I think the Bills are a very easy bet at plus 135 to win this division. The way people are writing the Bills off and jumping on the hype train that is the Jets and sort of the Dolphins too after a successful first year with Mike McDaniel, to me, just really, really reminds me of what we saw from the AFC West last year. I think the Bills to win the AFC East at plus money is the easiest bet on the board. The Jets could steal it, sure, but 2-1, a little short for me there.
Yeah, and the other part is that this has kind of, the Jets have been kind of floating around that number since the Aaron Rodgers trade happened. I know we were talking about it in late March. I think they were at plus 225 or 250. So the odds didn't change much because the odds makers had already kind of baked that in. Aaron Rodgers was going to be playing for the Jets. So here we are now. If anything, if you were thinking about betting Buffalo, because now you get a slightly better number. If you were thinking about betting the Dolphins, chance to make slightly more money because their number got a little bit worse. So I think those are the people who benefit the most, the people who still like the Bills or still like the Dolphins. But man, the Jets at plus 200, I'm not sure. I'd stay away from that too. I like your idea. Stick with, will they make the playoffs? Because it feels like there's a good chance, but I don't feel good about them winning the entire conference. And I don't feel good about them winning the AFC East, even with Aaron Rodgers. So I would stick with getting to the playoffs.
Yeah. Jets to make the playoffs minus 150, Bills to win the division plus 135. You got a pretty decently sized window where you can hit both of those. And if you, like, let's say you put 2 units on the Jets to win the division, or excuse me, to make the playoffs, so you're risking what? Risking 3 to win 2, and the Bills to win the division risking 1.5 to win, like, to 3. Actually, I'm doing the math terribly. But the point being is, like, you can set it up where you can shoot the gap there pretty easily because you got 3 wild card teams. And if the Jets win the division, they would still wipe out, you know, it would still take care. You want to set it up where it would take care of your loss on the Bills winning the division. And you would still profit a little bit. Obviously, if the Dolphins win the division and the Jets miss the playoffs, you know, you banged, or the Patriots are really good. Like, you can lose both. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but I think that's a nice way to set it up where you've got a pretty good shot at shooting the middle and hitting both of those.
Yeah, and it's just crazy to think about that we're having a realistic conversation about the Jets making the playoffs. I mean, this is a team, if you're a Jets fan, you sat through Josh McCown, Luke Falk, Trevor Siemian started a game at some point in the past few years. You went through the Ryan Fitzpatrick era. You know, you were riding the old Sanchez with Mark Sanchez.
The Bud fumble.
Sanchez, though, the last quarterback to take them to the playoffs. And then, obviously, you've had some draft whiffs with Sam Darnold, with Zach Wilson, who now is going to be riding the bench behind, I guess the only guy he's willing to ride the bench behind and be cool with it. But, you know, that's another thing the Jets will have to consider is what do you do with Zach Wilson? So this is just a whole fascinating thing for everyone. But if you're a Jets fan, the fact that you're being mentioned in the same sentence as the word playoffs, that enough has to throw you about this trade.
Absolutely. Okay. Anything else that we want to cover? I guess from the Packers perspective, what do you think the chances are they use either the 13th overall pick or the 42nd overall pick on a wide receiver just to spite Rodgers?
Oh, 100%. That just feels so like let the door hit him on the way out, making sure it hits him on the way out. They're going to be like, they're going to ask to have like the person announcing the pick wear a Rodgers jersey just to rub it in even more. Hey, we're taking receiver. Here we go. Yeah, that wouldn't be surprising at all. Get some weapons for Jordan Love. And you know what the thing is? We don't know anything about Jordan Love. We've only seen him play a couple times. He wasn't bad in either start. He's going to be running the offense that Matt LaFleur wants to run. You know, Aaron Rodgers loves to go off script, kind of do his own thing. Jordan Love's not going to do that. When you're a first-time starter, you go by the book. And so maybe this offense won't take as big as a step back as I think some people think. And, you know, we talked about
the NFC stinks too.
Yes. So, I mean, the Packers could be a surprise team. They're not horrible. They're not great. They're just right in the middle. And the NFC, you can get to the playoffs being right in the middle.
Packers 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. Don't think I'm betting that. 22-1 to win the NFC. Weirder things have happened. You know, maybe the 49ers don't have a quarterback going. They're not going to get Rodgers. Obviously, maybe Trey Lance isn't ready to roll, or Brock Purdy's still hurt. And, you know, the Eagles will probably still be good, but we've seen regression for plenty of teams. And then, yeah, this one, it's hilarious to see like 50-1 to win the Super Bowl, 22-1 to win the NFC, plus 380 to win your division. I don't know that necessarily lines up, but, you know, here we are, the division odds, just four teams. And, you know, the Bears got better this offseason, but they're not a powerhouse. The Lions are the favorite. I get it, but that's they just lost some dudes to gambling. They do have two first round picks, but expecting the Lions just to win a bunch is kind of a crazy notion. And then the Vikings, of course, maybe the luckiest team in football, actually definitely the luckiest team in football last year, potentially, as you might say, Breach, prime for some regression. So I don't know, man, the Packers at plus 380, a little intriguing, I guess.
Yeah, I would sprinkle some on that. Again, you just hit the nail on the head with all of this. Like, you really going to bank on the Detroit Lions, who have not won a division title since 1993, to win the division? After the Browns made the playoffs in 2020, it was, hey, they finally turned the corner. This team's going to be good. They haven't gotten close to getting back. And that's just, there's always this bad luck element to it. And that's what the Lions are in the NFC. It's, hey, this should be the year they turn the corner. Well, they've been trying to turn this corner for 30 years and they haven't been able to do it. So yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable betting the Lions. As you mentioned, the Vikings were playing with fire all year last season. It just happened they never burned themselves. Well, eventually they're going to. You can't be lucky in every single game. And, you know, we saw their luck run out in the playoffs. And so, and no one, I don't think, is going to bet the Bears. So why not sprinkle some on the Packers? Why not, Brinson?
Why not? By the way, I saw Ian Rappaport tweet this out. We expect to have this done before the draft, end quote, Brian Gutekunst. I think that was from the owners' meetings. I don't know if he's saying that right now, like, because I mean the deal is agreed to, but it's not actually done. Which
I think, you know, we have a quote from today. I'll drop it in Slack so you can read it.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, we do expect it to be done here in the next couple of days. In other words, they expected it to be done. They just for, you know, the nuts and bolts of this with an NFL trade. In order to process the exchange of the actual draft picks, and most people watching this probably know it, but for those that might not, you know, you've been like at a ayahuasca retreat, or you've been, you know, sipping espresso martinis, whatever the hell you've been doing. For those that don't know, like, you have to finalize the paperwork with the league in order for that pick to be processed in a way that, you know, like the Packers can make the Jets pick, et cetera, et cetera. Now you can do that on the clock. Like, they could trade when number 13 comes up, they could trade Rodgers to the Jets then, or they could just say, hey, draft this guy. We'll draft this guy at 15. That becomes a little trickier, but this will, you know, and this is before the deal went down. This essentially, the deal is done. It's Monday night, Monday afternoon. It's not going to be hard to wrap that up and to bang it out, especially with the compensation agreed to. But I mean, that's just, you know, worth noting, I suppose.
And I'll say a couple more things. I saw someone in the comments section, Michael Ayers, asking, is Rodgers wearing number 8 for the Jets?
Good question.
According to Adam Schefter, the answer to that question is yes. We know that Joe Namath, Rodgers wore 12, obviously, in Green Bay, has worn 12 his entire NFL career. Joe Namath wore 12 in New York. That is sacred ground. You don't wear it. Namath said that Rodgers could wear it if the trade went down, but apparently Rodgers doesn't want to deal with that, which I feel like is probably
the smart move by Rodgers there. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to deal with that. And so Rodgers, he wore number 8 in college at
UK, Cal Berkeley, baby.
Cal Berkeley. So that is the number.
Who is his teammate who was drafted by a different AFC East team was.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Marshawn Lynch. I don't know why I felt like telling you that. I think Deshaun Jackson was.
I'm the Cal expert. My dad went to Cal. Trying to get me with Cal.
My dad went to Cal. He said, "Fantasy."
Trying to get me with Cal trivia. No.
Who's the receiver they played with?
Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, good job. Nice work. All right, we missed anything else on this?
I will say real quick, one huge winner that we overlooked that I just thought of right now is the NFL scheduling department. These people
put together
a schedule that's going to be released. Today's April 24th. So we're talking, this schedule's coming out in 2 or 3 weeks. I'm sure they have been literally waiting, like, all right, guys, if Aaron Rodgers plays for the Jets, all their primetime slots are taken. If he doesn't, the Jets were only in one primetime game last season. So that's not a team you are putting front and center on national television.
Great point.
And so you look at their schedule. They play the Chiefs. They play the Philadelphia Eagles. They play both Super Bowl teams. You have 2 games against the Bills. I mean, you have a lot of games here. They play the Dallas Cowboys. So a lot of games that are potentially primetime options. And so I'm sure everybody in the NFL scheduling department is breathing a sigh of relief tonight.
Well, you've got tons of, like, the Bears are intriguing, you know, like, I think more intriguing this year. The Lions are more intriguing. The Vikings are more intriguing. So, the Packers are going to be a little intriguing too, even if they're not great. Like, what is Jordan Love going to look like? And then, to your point with the Jets, I mean, man, you're talking about I'm trying to make sure I got the correct. You mentioned the opponents, but the Jets are going to get the max 5 primetime games for sure with the Rodgers trade now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It would be absolutely shocking if they don't max out the primetime games. The Jets are going to be all over primetime television next season. I think that is an absolute lock.
Yep. You're going to see a lot of Aaron Rodgers in the gangrene uniform. Now he's been traded to the Jets. Much more to come on this in the coming days as we sort of shake out the fallout of the Aaron Rodgers deal. Make sure to check out the Pick 6 podcast, subscribe, rate, and review for all the details of the stuff that comes out. And of course, with the First Pick podcast, Ryan Wilson and co. will have the draft fallout from these specific picks and what guys might be available for the Jets, for the Packers, with these picks that they've now exchanged. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. For Breach, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.